Oh, it's lovely to be here with you again. And for those of you who I haven't met before, lovely to make acquaintance with you. And for those who I've known from previous visits, it's lovely to see you again. And we enjoyed yesterday, and I'm looking forward to today being with you too. Hallelujah. You know, when we were singing that song, No Turning Back, for the lady in the red there, can I just, I just want to give a word to you right as we start off this morning, because I just felt like the time is now for you to not look back, but to look forward. And I just feel like God was saying that the things that have been behind are behind. Forget about them. It's time to move on. There's a lot of positive things ahead for you. And I feel like the Lord would just want to just open up new doors of opportunity for you. You might think, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. But I tell you what, there's a lot of things you can do. And God's going to open up some new doors for you. And where you may have felt like there was not much ahead, and all you were aware of were the things that had been, He says, forget about that and look forward to what's ahead. Because there's a lot ahead for you. A lot of good things that only you can do and only God can do through you. You know, right unto the day He calls us home, I believe He intends us to live fruitful and effective lives. And I just feel like God was saying, as we sang that song, no turning back. Don't look back. Don't even worry about the past. It's time to think about the future now and what God's got ahead for you. And some verses that I want to give you that may perhaps... we're in the light. things that might just particularly encourage you. 1 Chronicles chapter, and Matthew's going to be my scribe this morning, so he's going to write some verses down. So don't bother about writing them. You'll get them on a piece of paper. I want you to just take them in right now. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Look to the Lord and His strength. Psalm 28:7. The Lord, He is my shield and He is my strength. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. May He strengthen your heart. And I just feel like there are things that God's going to give you in your heart, and your heart's going to be enlarged for the things of God. And for maybe the ministry of intercession and prayer is going to be an important part of that. But there are things that are going to cast your mind forward and bring you into a vision of what lies ahead. And He's going to enlarge your heart to receive that. Hebrews 12:12 says, now may you strengthen the feeble arms and your weak knees. And I feel like the Lord would just want to speak into your life that not just physical strength, but spiritually speaking, that energy that flows from within. 2 Corinthians 12:10, when you're weak, in fact, that's when you find your strength. And be strong in the Lord and the power of His might was the other verse that I gave to someone yesterday, Ephesians 6:10. Listen, just be strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know you. I don't know what your situation or circumstance is, but don't look back. Keep looking forward. Can we pray for you? I'll come down to you. Now, reach out your hands towards our sister as we pray, hey? Stay there. It's all right. It's obviously, you don't need to move around. Bless you, Lord. For this wonderful lady, thank you, Father, for the faith that's in her heart. May it continue to grow to embrace all that is the future. Lord, I don't know what her past has been about, but Lord, you've been saying to her, not look back, look forward. And Lord, I just speak over her life, freshness, newness, release, Lord, for things that are yet to be achieved, for things that are yet to be accomplished. Because, Lord, you haven't given up on her. You still have things for her to do. And Lord, in the days that she has and whatever times we all have, Lord, there are things that are productive in the Spirit, and I pray they be birthed in her afresh in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Bless you. Hallelujah. I just felt there's someone around here, and I don't know who it's for, so I'm just going to give this word. And if it's for you, or maybe we can perhaps recognize it. It's an unusual word. Is someone in this area here been struggling with perhaps false accusations and people speaking against you, things that, you know, not really right? I think it's one of the guys. over there, over there. Well, look, take it on board, guys. This is a word for you. Okay, is there anybody, one of you three or four men there where you just feel like there's been enough is enough? You're basically saying enough. You know, it's time. The word that I have is that God will vindicate your cause. Do you understand what I'm saying? That he will defend your honor. And for those guys who raised their hands, and there's two of you that did, I think. Who was it? There and there. Anybody else? Any of you guys here? Was I off beam? Maybe it was for one of the ladies. No? Really felt this was a word. Maybe it's a word for what still lies ahead. So just think about these words. If they come up in the next few days or weeks, think, I remember what Pastor said. You might not remember the verses particularly, but you remember the spirit of them. God wants to vindicate your cause. By that I mean he's going to defend your honor. You don't have to defend yourself. There's a great sense where we sometimes want to rise up and justify ourselves and say, that's not the way it is. And we try to be in control. The thing is, God is in control. And when you rely on him, he can come through and vindicate your cause in ways that you could never, ever do yourself. Because if you start pushing your cause, it'll be your word against their word. And before you know it, you're in an argument. And you're just trying to impose your will. But God would want to say to you, take your hands off the situation and watch what I can do. And I will vindicate your cause. Now, here's some verses that really speak about that, because I believe maybe you've been misrepresented. Maybe there's been injustice. Maybe there's been things that have happened that, you know the truth and someone's been accusing you falsely. Or maybe there's been a misreading of the situation. But God would say to you this morning, I will stand in your place. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 19. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions, he enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and to be happy in his work. This is a gift from God. And I believe it's in, I'm not sure, but I sense it may be in, is it in the work areas for either of you guys? You know, God would say to you, you can become happy in your work. But if you try to push your own barrow, you'll cause problems. But if you let the Lord just take control, you watch how the circumstances of work might change for you. It may be in relation to friendships or relationships or other situations. Listen to these words. Philippians 4. I've learnt the secret to being content, whatever the circumstances. I've learnt the secret. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So rely on the Lord and his strength, not your own. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. It talks there about the challenge of just working and being disciplined in what you do. And just keep your nose, as it were, to the grindstone. Just keep doing what is right. And Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all of your hearts. Now, a couple more verses. Job 13:18. Now that I have prepared my case, I know I will be vindicated. And Job said, I've weighed it all up, and now, God, I know you're going to come through for me. Psalm 24, verse 5, and he will receive a blessing from the Lord and vindication from his Savior. Oh, Lord, let that be for my brothers, I pray, in Jesus' name. 1 Peter 5, 7 reminds us that we need to cast all our anxiety upon him, for he cares for us. Jeremiah 50, 34, the Redeemer is strong. The Lord is almighty, is his name, and he will vigorously defend your cause. Hallelujah. Guys, why don't you just stand to your feet? If you feel this is a word for you, and maybe any of you guys there that want to receive it just for maybe what's ahead, stand to your feet. And let's just believe for the Lord to just move in your lives right now. Father, as these men and women rise in Jesus' name, we thank you, God, that you're a God who vindicates causes. That you stand in the gap for us, that we don't have to fight our battles alone. In fact, Lord, you do the fighting for us. And if we would just take our hands off many situations, we would create space for you to move. But Lord, we so oftentimes get in the way. And we try to be the Lord of our own circumstance. We try to be in control. We think we know better. We think we know the way forward. And Lord, we just cause a stumbling block for ourselves and for others. Instead, Lord, we take our hands off and we say, Lord, vindicate our cause. You defend our honor. You work in ways to bring justice in the midst of injustice. You bring truth in the midst of falsehood. Lord, you bring peace in the midst of disharmony. You, Lord, work in ways that only you can, where you work at the heart of the matter rather than in the minds of the matter. Lord, we pray against all words that have been spoken, all those things that have been brought with accusation and the spirit, Lord, that is Antichrist. And we speak instead the spirit that is Christ, which is pure, honorable, worthy of praise. If there's any excellence, that's where we're going to dwell with our thinking, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Bless my brothers and my sister, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Matthew's written that down, and maybe you can give it to the guy in the... Maybe we can photocopy that and give a bunch of them out to the guys in a little while. Would that be possible, Pastor? Okay, because that was a word for quite a few of you. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't he? Oh, he's so good. Hey, can we watch a little clip? This is where I want to preach from this morning, and it's just a video that I want you to watch. Now, don't be put off by the fact that at the end it said it was made by the Mormons. They do some things that are good. And this little clip is actually quite good. And the Mormons have some good media in their production. And they're just quoting the Word of God here, so there's nothing wrong with that, okay? You with me? All right, so... When it comes up at the end and says this is done by the Mormons, I'm not trying to convert you to another cause, Pastor Chris, okay? Here we go. This comes from Acts chapter 3. We got some volume?
Anything to give? Alms?
Look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. Walk.
great, 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 great story, isn't it? Guys, I didn't queue up with you session four. Have you got that organized? Can you do that? Thank you. And I don't have my little clicker thing either. So, sorry, guys. We're just a little bit... if you get that for me. This was the very first miracle in the book of Acts. I don't know, as you look at that clip, you get a feel of the awesomeness of what is actually happening. You read these stories. Thanks, guys. Here we go. You read these stories and you sometimes gloss over them, and I want to unpack it a bit with you this morning. Can we do that? For those of you who've joined us this morning, I've been looking through the book of Acts, and I've been talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, I've been talking about him as Holy Spirit. And Chris picked himself up on that, and I don't want to be pedantic about the words, Pastor Chris. You're welcome to say the Holy Spirit. But I'm just trying to say, let's personalize Holy Spirit. Let's talk about him in the first person. Let's talk about him as the one who draws alongside, the paraclete, the comforter, the one who's right beside us, and not think of him as somehow... You don't talk about the Hans Vortman. You come up to me and say, hi, Hans, how are you? You know, and you'd come up to each other in that sense of familiarity. And in that same spirit, I want you to embrace Holy Spirit this morning, because he has so much he wants to impart through you and I. And here in this particular story, and you've just seen it enacted out there, you see something of what must have been an amazing mindset change for the early church. You know, this is the very first miracle. Guess what? Peter's never done this before. All he's got is what? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working in his life, and suddenly he comes to the place where he's been countless times, even of recent days. When you read the story, you see that at the end of the previous chapter, they had been gathering together and going to the temple every day, as they normally did. And here they go again. Only this day, something different happens. Peter sees the man at the gate, beautiful. And something in him stirs, Holy Spirit, and says, you can cause a miracle to happen here. Now, he's never done a miracle. None of the disciples have actually, in that sense now, since the day of Pentecost, seen anything outworked through them. That they had miracles that had happened, if you remember, when Jesus laid his hands upon them and commissioned them as disciples, and they saw lots of amazing things happen. They said, wow, even the demons are subject to us in your name. But now Jesus is not there anymore. And it feels like it's just them. Except they've got Holy Spirit. And now Peter's at this moment where he is confronted by the fact that it's me and Holy Spirit within me. Nothing seems different on the outside. But on the inside, something radically has been changed and transformed. This person is no longer just Peter. He is Peter, Son of God. He is Peter, heir of God. He is Peter, joint heir with Christ, as we said yesterday. He is Peter, who has all authority that has been given to him. He is Peter, who has been given everything in Christ Jesus. He is Peter that has all of Jesus within him, called Holy Spirit. And that same Spirit, guess what, is in you and I this morning as well. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it says, will also quicken or strengthen, empower your body. And here they are, the very first time confronted by the opportunity for something that was out of their mindset, out of their reckoning, and a miracle obviously transpires. This morning, I just sense God would want to say to you, don't underestimate what God can do through you. And the testimony we just heard before from Noel, is it? Where are you, Noel? There he is. Oh, great. Noel, you know, you illustrated exactly the point that I want to make this morning. is that Holy Spirit doesn't want to just be in here. Where did this miracle happen? At the gate? Beautiful. It happened out in the marketplace. It happened out in the community. Now, the gate, beautiful, was an entrance point into the temple. You saw them there. And it was the place where it was called, it was the third place of prayer. If you've been to Jerusalem, you'll know that they have, and in the Psalms, they have what they call the Psalms of Ascent, which was as you ascended up to Mount Zion, as you ascended up to the temple, you would pray. And there was particular prayer spots or stops where they would stop and meditate and pray. And the third one of those, the final one, was at the Gate Beautiful. It was a traditional place where people would stop. And so if you were a beggar, it was a great spot to put your hand out, because people would stop there instead of us rushing past you. They'd actually stop and you had the opportunity to gather, get their attention. And this guy, this cripple, from birth, has been dropped there by his friends probably every day of his life, because it's his spot and they claim their spot. And if you've been in any of the nations where beggars are on the streets, you know they have their own territories. They have their own little area. And this was his area. This was his spot. He'd been going there for, I don't know, many, many years at least. And Peter and John had passed him many, many times. Except that this time it was different. Something changed in the thinking of Peter and John to realize that the power of God was not just to be in the temple, or was not just to be amongst the believers, but was intended to outwork itself in the marketplace, in the community, in their culture. And this very first miracle doesn't happen amongst the believers, doesn't happen just to a Christian. It happens to a person who in their culture was alienated, who was on the outside. As a beggar, as a person who was suffering with an ailment, he couldn't freely go into the temple. That's why, as you saw in that clip, he walks into the temple rather cautiously at the beginning, wondering if the guards would even stop him. Because they were the guards who guarded that place every day. They knew him. They knew all the people there. They would have known him well. And as he walks in the temple for the first time, he's released into something that he could never go into freely before. Peter and John had walked past him many, many times. But this was the morning, or the afternoon rather, where a miracle is about to happen. And the miracle happens not in the building, not in the holy sanctum. It happens at the interface of faith and the culture. I just want to say that as perhaps a significant point this morning. Where does Holy Spirit want to use you? He wants to use you at your gate, beautiful. I'm reminded of that verse, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. There's a beauty to this gate. It's not called the gate horrible. It's not called the gate of pain. It's not called the gate, the lonely gate. It's not called the frustration gate or the disappointment gate. It's not called the sadness gate. It's not the fear gate. It's the beautiful gate. And you bring a beauty to the interface between faith and your culture and world. This miracle happened at a strategic point. It happened at the edge of the temple. Inside the temple was the holy spot, the place where you could only come if you'd gone through ritual cleansing, and it's where things happened that were religious, and it was inside there that you would expect to see things of God working. But outside, in their culture, it was as hedonistic and as secular as our culture is. Outside the church, people just did their own business stuff and carried on, and just, you know, faith was a long way away from their thinking. They went to church to be religious. What a similar pattern to the way our society thinks and acts. Oh, we're religious at church. Don't you bring your religion into the workplace. Don't you bring it into the context of the wider culture. And so that same intimidation spirit would have been there over Peter and John. But Peter realizes the Holy Spirit has been brought into his life, not for himself and not just for believers, but to act at the interface between culture and the place of worship. You carry the presence of God with you wherever you go. Where is the temple now? Huh? Where's the temple now? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're the temple of the Spirit. You are a temple. You carry within you the presence of Christ and God. But this miraculous power is not just to be consumed within you. It's to happen at the interface where you are interconnecting with your world, with your culture, with your society. And I want to encourage you and pray over you as a church that the sort of experience and story that Noel shared earlier will become normative to all the life of this church and to your world, where you will find yourself prompted by Holy Spirit to speak into a situation, to actually be there and pray for people, to see what might open up. Yesterday I was talking with those that were here about in our own church how bunches of our young people and with one of our associate pastors have been intentionally walking out into our community to pray and to interface faith with people who wouldn't want anything, but they're quite happy for you to pray for them. I talked about one of our ladies who went to the New Age Fair and set up her booth to interpret dreams and to pray for people. And all these New Age freaky people came and she was able to pray for God's interpretation to situations. She asked, Lord, for discernment. Give me the gift of discernment as I pray for these people. She had amazing conversations. Holy Spirit is not just for Sundays. The Holy Spirit is to empower us to work in our marketplace. And I pray that you will understand more and more how to use the gifts of the Spirit in the context of your life, wherever you might be. And realize that the Holy Spirit is with you to do the sorts of things that now unfold in this story. Let's have a look at it in a little bit more detail. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. And I'm reading here from, I better move it along a bit. We're going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now a man was lame from birth and was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. Maybe you're here this morning and there's things that you're being carried by. Perhaps circumstances. Perhaps there's things in your past history. Perhaps there's issues of culture, physical disability or habits or unfulfilled dreams and expectations. I don't know what it is that you're carried by, but we all carry a whole heap of things in our lives. This guy is carried by his mates because he is crippled. And I don't know where you're crippled, but all of us to a degree are crippled in our lives. And we need the touch and the power of Christ upon our lives. And that's the great message of Jesus. He was carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And I've already given you some of the history to that. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money, which is what they would do, would ask for money. But how does Peter and John respond at this point? Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Now, I don't know if Peter and John had set this up in their minds before they went there. I think this just unfolded at the moment, the spur of the moment. I don't think it was a premeditated act at all. I think it was just Holy Spirit giving Peter the nudge and John, the younger, following the older. And Peter says these words, "Look at me. Look at us." And John, I can imagine, just going, Yeah, look at us, you know, as he gets drawn into the story. And the two of them are staring at this guy, and you saw it in the clip. looking at the icon, and the guy is with full anticipation, is expecting for money. He puts out his hand to receive, as he would have done and expected from all the others that stopped it, said, "Look at us." And so the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them, but not realizing that the thing he was about to get was the most amazing, radical power that he could ever have experienced. I don't know that this guy had any idea what was coming his way. He was just there. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you." What have you got to offer your world, really? I mean, you can be a nice, good helper. You can be a nice person. You can be neighborly. You can be friendly. You can support. You can give stuff. But you know the most significant thing you can do is to bring the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Hallelujah. And a miracle starts to happen. I don't know if you get the full significance of what's happening. How long's this guy been a cripple? Huh? All his life. I don't know if you've seen someone who's had their arm in a cast or maybe a leg in a cast for any period of time. What happens to the muscles? They just atrophy and they shrink. And, you know, I can imagine that this guy had a very strong upper body because he would have used all that. But from the waist down, there would have been hardly anything there. If you've seen people who are crippled, they don't have any muscle tone. And something starts to happen. Taking him by the right hand. And by the way, there's great significance in the Jewish culture, what happens with the right hand. And if you've gone into a lot of other countries around the world now, the left hand is the unclean hand, and the right hand is the hand of favor, is the hand of power, it's the hand of acceptance, it's the hand of cleansing, and it's the hand of release. And he stretches out his right hand. It doesn't say that by chance. It was symbolic of something being given that was going to give a new opportunity, a fresh start. And he helped him up, and instantly it says, the man's feet and ankles became strong. So it started right down the bottom. And yeah, the guy, you know, you saw it in the clip. The guy goes, and he's, I don't think, he might have been tottering a bit, but the feet were starting to get some solidarity. And the right hand was still giving support. And you saw how they actually held arms around the arms. And I think as it started, Peter's holding him up. But there's strength coming into his feet. And a guy who's never walked in his life suddenly starts to feel his muscle tone starting to come into his legs. And strength into his knees. You know, yourselves, that as a when you have a little baby, it doesn't walk for a long time. Main reason being, it has no cartilage. It has no knee structure to hold it up. And when a baby starts to crawl, of course, part of the thing is the strengthening of the knee joints and learning to take its own body weight. And gradually it gets to the point where it can support itself, because the knees need to be reconstructed. And here's this guy who's been lame since birth. And this amazing miracle happens as his whole legs get reconstructed. But not only that, in an instant, he gains sense of balance. That which a little child has for ages to try and negotiate things and hold on to objects and gradually get their sense of equilibrium, instantly this guy also gets the sense of his brain engaging in all that is these new neural pathways that tell him how to keep balance, how to get his ears working in the right way so there's a sense of stability in his walk and in his gait. This is much more than just a healing miracle that's happening in terms of leg muscle. This is something that's being actually transformed in his whole way of thinking. This guy is learning how to walk. And get what it says next. And he, what? jumped to his feet. Boy, I love the way God does miracles, don't you? Don't you love the way that God just goes, he doesn't just let him just sort of, okay, you gradually, you'll be right. In a few days' time, you might be able to stand. No, just jumps to his feet. And he began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple court, walking and jumping and praising God. I remember the old chorus that we used to sing, and some of you might remember it if you're of my vintage in church life. Silver and gold have I none, and such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then all the kids would go, walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Who here needs to walk this morning? Who here has something where you just know you need the touch of God? You may not be crippled physically, but you may be crippled emotionally. You may be crippled in another area of your life, spiritually. Maybe there's a limitation that is there physically. It may not be in your legs, but you may feel crippled in other parts of your health. Maybe your heart's not working right or something else. You know what? Holy Spirit knows. And he actually heals in the temple too, by the way. He will work here. But I would want you to be encouraged to use this power in the context of the broader world that you live in, because you are the Peters and John to this culture. You are the ones that God would want to empower and bring forth his release to. As I said yesterday when we're looking at the book of Acts, the concept that's repeated again and again in the book of Acts is Holy Spirit over 70 times. But the other key theme of the book of Acts, and appears over 30 times in the book of Acts, was what word? Do you remember? The word witness. All right? Because the two go together. We get power, not just for power's sake, but power for witness. And how did the early church grow? It grew through signs and wonders and miracles. It grew through the activity of what God did. And when you read this story again, thousands were added to the church through what happened here. Now, you know, I said yesterday to those who were gathered here, we can have a theoretical and a theological acceptance of all this. But I am challenged in my heart for our own congregation and for you this morning, is how can a group of people actually become workers of the Holy Spirit in their lives? How can you take this power into your workplace? I think part of the key is walking like this with Holy Spirit and saying, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? Yesterday I mentioned, you know, the little bracelet that kids and other people often have on their watch band, which is on their wrist, which says WWJD, what would Jesus do? And it's a good thing to remind yourself, what would Jesus do in this situation? But actually, we should take it another step forward. What is Jesus doing? Where is Jesus at work? Do you think the Holy Spirit has given up on our culture? Think the Holy Spirit doesn't want to work in your workplace with your friends and family and neighbors? Start looking for your great, beautiful opportunities. Where can you be the beautiful person who's going to be used by God to bring his power at work into a situation that where nothing else can be reached, you can through the power of the Spirit? Because it's not about you and your needs. It's about witness. It's about what God would do through you. Your church is prophetically called Grow Church. May it grow in power. May it grow in this dimension of the supernatural. May it grow in you walking out of here with a sense of commissioning and releasing. You don't have to wait to go to a Philippines missions trip to make it happen. You don't have to do it in other countries and cultures. Become a missionary to your own first world. See yourself as someone who goes with the Holy Spirit into your work tomorrow, into your family this afternoon, and see how you can become the gate beautiful for someone else. What can God do through you? And when all the people, it says, saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with awe and amazement at what had happened to him. Boy, our culture needs a good dose of awe and amazement at what God's doing in their midst. But you know, if we hide our light under a bushel, if we keep that spirit and power contained within ourselves, then we do the world and ourselves a huge disservice. I'm challenging myself to engage Holy Spirit all the time in my world, afresh. I shared the story yesterday of just, you know, a personal encounter that I had with Holy Spirit while I was in Israel a few months ago. And just the challenge that came to me about the re-radicalization, if you like, of my faith and putting myself in positions where I'm not going to be so comfortable or so embarrassed or so cautious that, you know, let's see what God can do. I'm not talking about being some loony toony. I'm not talking about being supernaturally unnatural. I'm talking about being supernaturally natural, as I said yesterday, where you in a natural, conversational way can bring the Holy Spirit to bear into circumstances and situations and see what God might do. You know, when Noel opened up that conversation with a taxi driver and it leads him to coming to Christ, that was done, I presume it sounded like, in a very natural way. It didn't start off with, the Lord would say to you, you're a sinner, and you better get your life right with God right now. It didn't start that way. It started out of a general conversation and just allowing Holy Spirit to work. And it doesn't always lead to you being the one who brings someone to Christ. That was great for Noel. Maybe you can be part, maybe there were four or five others before Noel that were part of that process that had already brought this guy to that point. Don't know. It's not you that's at work. It's Holy Spirit that's at work. You're just the catalyst for it. See what God might do this week through you. So as I read these stories, they're placed there not just to be an historical account. They're not just placed there as a record. They're placed there to encourage us that the same can still happen today. Hallelujah. Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? It's nothing of us. It's all of Holy Spirit. And Peter knew he couldn't do anything. It was had nothing to do with him. It was all to do with Holy Spirit working through him. It is, he goes on to say, it is by faith in the name of Jesus this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. And guess what? That same name of Jesus is operative today. It hasn't lost its power. It isn't for another group of people. It is for you. And we proclaim the name of Jesus, not just in the context of this church. What happens here is we get geared up and excited about it, like we're all saying amen to right now. Why? So that when you walk out of here, you go with it. You go with Holy Spirit. And you become a Peter and John at a gate beautiful in your workplace, in your home, to your relatives. Who knows? But we need to start to think differently. You know, how foolish would it be, did I say this yesterday, I might have, to take out a gym membership and think that by taking out the gym membership, you're going to become fit. Evidently, 90% of Australians who take out a gym membership do that. They think because they've got a gym membership, they'll get fit because they never go to the gym. I say 90% of gym memberships don't get used. But it does something, salves your conscience. And some of us here can get our consciences salved. We've got the Holy Spirit. Thinking that because we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's going to happen. You need to access that Holy Spirit and actually go into the gym and use the power that's been given yours. Step out and start to go into some training. You may not get it all right at the start. So what? I don't know about Peter and John. They may have made a few mistakes earlier on. I don't know. It's not recorded. But they stepped out. And look what happened. It's by faith in the name of Jesus. It's by his power. It's nothing to do with you. It's all to do with him. Hallelujah. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Holy Spirit has been commissioned and given. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, release that for what it's been given to you for, and that's to be a servant of his and in acts of service that bring witness to who he is. Hallelujah. It is Jesus' name and faith that comes through him that have completely healed him. You know, when a new church is planted at Diggers Rest, it's not so that we can do another nice little Christian thing in a classroom there. It is to empower a bunch of people over in that area so they can in turn go out to Diggers Rest. You know, wherever we plant churches, the church becomes the vehicle for empowering a bunch of people to go out and be the church. It's not that everybody from the community has to come into our church to find it. It's for us to be empowered to go out to our world to give it. And Peter says these great words, "Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Times of refreshing. This is a great environment here to be refreshed. I talked yesterday about the fact that we don't come to church to be so much topped up as to be opened up. You know, we come here because there's a great reservoir of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, there's a like an aquifer, an underground water supply called the Holy Spirit in all of our lives, a treasure hidden in these earthen vessels. What church is about is challenging us to open up afresh to the Spirit of God. That's what worship is supposed to do. By the way, if you miss worship in the mornings and come after the worship has happened, you really deny a great opportunity to open yourself up. Because what worship does, it opens you up to release out the presence and power of God that's within you. You don't have to rush from one place to another, as I said yesterday, to find where you can get topped up. Church is not like a petrol station. It's more about an artesian basin. It's more like a river that will flow from within you. And this is a place of refreshing where, as it were, the cistern can be cleansed. And where the well can be, all the stuff can be taken out so it can erupt again and move out into the week with a new fresh sense of the power of God working through you and with you. That's what Holy Spirit's come to do. And I just felt this word, very simple word. But be a church at the gate, guys. If you want to grow, and I know you do, and you've got a wonderful facility, and awesome that you're building these structures. But you know, you can build great structures and still not have the people come in. The people will come, the kids will come, the families will come as you go out. The greatest witness has always been his people sharing through the power of the Spirit things that are happening in our lives. And I want to pray for you and believe for you that God would use you in fresh and dynamic ways as a church. I wonder if you could stand together with me, and I just want to pray over you. And then I want to give a few more words to some people. And I might, because our time's getting away and we've got kids, I presume, and time frames and stuff, I'll get you to come and stand at the front here and I'll give you some words directly. Would that be all right? But right now as a church, we stand here. And just say, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. Just open up to all that is the presence of God within you. You've got a treasure hidden inside of you. Silver and gold, you don't have. But such as I have, give I you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Father, we speak to our circumstances. We speak to our world. We speak to our culture. And we speak to this church. May it become, Lord, a church that moves in supernatural power, that releases through its people, Lord, the presence and the reality of Jesus. Lord, as Peter said, it is faith in Jesus' name and faith that comes through him that brings release to people's lives. And Lord, as we've spoken about Holy Spirit across this weekend, I now would want to impart into this church a fresh sense of release of all that is the Spirit's power. And in Jesus' name, rise up and walk. Church, rise up and walk. Don't be crippled in your witness. Don't be crippled in your circumstances of timidity and fear. Don't be crippled by intimidation of your world. Don't be crippled by the secular spirit that's around. Don't be crippled by that which would howl you down and say, keep your religion to yourself. No, rise up and walk. Walk in the opportunities that Holy Spirit is already creating for you. Those moments that are yours to embrace. Where your gate beautiful might be this week. Be ready to see it and step out in faith. And if it doesn't work out fully the way you anticipated, do it again. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. Keep trying. Keep availing yourself, because it's not about you and it's nothing to do with you. It's Holy Spirit working through you. And the more you allow His Spirit to work, the more He has freedom to operate and the more He will show you His miraculous presence and power. Now, Lord, I speak into these lives here this morning. If there are those that are crippled by health issues, Lord, release them. If there are those that are crippled by emotional baggage, Lord, take that burden off their lives. If there are, Lord, those that are struggling in the midst of relationship crises and things that are just intimidating and difficult, Lord, in Jesus' name, I speak, Lord, rise up and walk. I speak into their lives a spirit that causes a new energy to flow into their legs. That causes, Lord, a sense of balance and perspective that they've never had before. That causes much more than what is seen physically. You actually cause their minds to be transformed, renewed by the power of God. And they start to think in a whole different way. Lord, in Jesus' name, break this church loose at all the levels that it needs to. But most importantly and directly, as I felt the challenge to, I pray, Lord, that you would release this church in its witness. That you would release this church to operate in the power of God in the marketplace, at their gates, and that there will be many, many gate beautifuls that are spoken of through the weeks that are ahead, in Jesus' name. And Lord, that the sort of thing that Noel testified to will become a normal part of the story of this church's life. Lord, as you work through your people to bring your name, honor, in this area of Melbourne, and beyond, we pray it in Jesus' name. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you that you're with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, we don't have to build the church in our own strength. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that it's nothing to do with physical structure. It is all to do with that which is your Spirit imbibing us, filling us. Be filled with the Spirit. May the power of God fall afresh upon you in Jesus' name. Lord, as they just stand here in this place, this is their place where they've come to tarry this day. We don't tarry in Jerusalem. We tarry at the Grow Church St. Albans. And we tarry here to receive power from on high. And Lord, I speak that power into these people right now so that they can go out with it into their world in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And may there be many Peters in this group who draw along Johns with them and cause them to, in partnership, be encouraged and built up and strengthened. Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name. Bless Pastor Chris and the team here, and may this church continue to fulfill its mandate in you and grow by the power of the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just be seated for a moment. Can I just, thank you. I know, but I want to just give two quick words, and then I'll ask others to come out the front. Is that all right? Actually, I'll honour the time. Lewis, I've got a word for you, and I'd love you to come out the front. Is that your wife with you? Come, both of you, come together. And I'll share something with you both as a couple. Ariel, I've got something for you as well that I'd like to just share. How many, who here has really been hanging out for a word and you're saying, Lord, I just wanted this to happen today. I don't want this opportunity to go past. A few others. Feel free to come and stand at the front here as well. Okay? God bless you. It's been a privilege to be with you and I look forward to being with you in Digger's Rest this afternoon. For those of you going to be there, but if there's any others that want prayer, just come and stand at the front. I'll pray with you, but I'll hand over to Pastor Chris at the moment. God bless you.